Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
We said all broken
ahead
hearted.
Ahead of the horse.
Tried to
you said
the put on my pod.
Said, here I go, putting my
cart in front of the horse.
See, this is what she says.
In other words, I'm not ready yet.
This is a saying from someone who lived in the 1800s, Kim.
Well, and
my grandpa did not live in the 1800s.
I'm saying
it's good
you.
She has self-esteem. A horse is a beautiful creature. I would have said like a mule.
How much have you guys missed me?
Time has no meaning to me anymore.
It's been a while.
I was hoping someone would have croaked by now, but
evidently, I almost did.
Did you?
Give me a couple weeks.
I wrote out a thing that was in case I die. My last words. I was feeling real puny. And now I sound like
you still don't sound great. Vincent. How sick were you?
It was worse than COVID and...
Really?
Like, today's the first day where I'm like, oh, this is what it feels like to be human. I forgot what that felt like.
Wow, that's been, this is Tuesday, that was...
It says online Thursday? About, like, 7 to 10 days to get over E. coli poisoning, but...
Is that what it is?
Yeah, so...
How did you get that?
From that river. When I started feeling bad, Mom was like, oh, well, the... River thing said the E. coli's been real high because they've been spraying fields and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
You know, when I said that snake was chasing me and I threw rocks at that snake, well, your mouth is open when you scream and some water got in my... And it does not take very long once it hits your body.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Because that was the night before. Wasn't it?
Yeah. It was like Thursday. I was feeling bad, and then we recorded Friday. And then this is, I don't even know how many
Tuesday.
Days, 10, 11 days since that.
Did we not record last week?
No.
I don't know
whenever
anymore.
I'm sick, I'm never one of those where I'm like, oh, I'm sick. I always try to tell myself, oh, I'm healing.
Right.
So that day I was like, my fever broke, which I thought, like, because I woke up that day, you know, just drenched, and that hadn't happened yet. I was like, oh, I woke up sopping wet and fevered. I must be getting better. No.
That was the onset.
That was what I had gone through up until that point was just the forerunner.
Oh,
I was like,
God.
Hold on. I lost about a pound a day.
Wow.
With that. It was not
maybe
good.
We need to get E. coli.
Yeah, no kidding.
Hey, I didn't get dehydrated. I was like, I don't need to feel worse. Where's my water? Well, four times a day, I'd crawl out of bed to the fridge.
I prayed all week last week that I wouldn't get it.
Yeah, I thought I was cursed.
I don't blame you. I would too.
I thought that snake coming was a harbinger of death. I wrote it in my notes. I was like, if this kills me, this is my final. My final.
Just spread my words. Ashes on a hot man.
Wait a minute. I thought I'd started this row.
Don't mind us, Kim. Oh, that blanket's looking real pretty.
Yeah, I did. At the wrong end. Isn't it, though?
She don't know her ass.
I was really on the fence. I was really on the fence with it when I first got it, but the longer it goes, the better it looks.
Yeah, it is.
Kind of trippy when you look at it.
Yeah, it is kind of trippy. It is so cool, though. But I can guarantee you, it's got a cool texture.
Yeah.
I can guarantee you, though, I'll never do another one.
I'll never do another
one. Is it complicated?
No, it's not complicated at all. It's just very time consuming.
Oh, it looks like it.
Yeah. Yeah. A little texture thing looks like it would be. Plus, do you have to switch yarn collars every once in a while?
Yeah, every three rows.
Okay. Because I wasn't
which
sure.
You tie on and you cut off every row. You're always working the same direction. Mm. You don't flip it like you do normal things and go back the other way. You have to tie off, tie back on, and go back again.
Because I know, like, some yarn you can get, like, multicolored yarn.
That's
like
variegated
blanket.
You don't have to ever cut it. Yeah.
And then, like, it just changes colors every once in a while.
Yeah, it's called variegated.
Like, well, plants. We learn something new every day. Mm-hmm. Variegated.
Yeah, well, this is not variegated yarn. I change every three rows.
Hmm.
Yep.
Interesting.
I know. Isn't that though?
I'm glad I fought my way back from death for this stimulating conversation. I'll tell you, being sick, though, it did make me feel younger. Because in my head, I kept thinking, if I was an old person, this would take me out.
Now, this
I would not be here.
This episode is supposed to be Kim's mystery, right?
Help
okay,
us.
So Josh, I wanted to tell you about our little trip to Fort Wayne.
Oh, he got a
book. While you were dead. Now, some of this is my mystery. You know how it is, Josh. You know how it is.
Single space.
I was with Shane this time. I had like 8 or 9 pages.
Oh, God. This is going to be a long one, Josh. That's what I'm hearing.
Buckle up.
But anyway, Kim let Rick out of the basement to go join us on a little trip.
I felt really bad for him for a while. So I thought he had put in so much work. However, I did notice on my app for my water softener yesterday, he needs to be putting some salt in.
Lazy.
Well, Rick, you hear it from us right now.
I let you out, Rick. Now get your butt back to work. I need some salt put in.
That's heavy.
No kidding. Yeah, I know. Every time I have to carry it in the dang basement, I'm just like, good gosh, can they not
figure out something better?
It's been a damn long time since you've had to take that to the basement for me.
No, not you. I have a water softener in my basement, Kim. No one cares about your water. I'm surprised you can put salt in it because you're nasty. But anyway, Josh, Rick joined Kim and I on a little trip to Fort Wayne where we saw the gravesite of Johnny Appleseed. Now, we had a little mishap because as Kim's GPS is taking us to Johnny Appleseed's gravesite, which is on, it's like in a little park. I think it's called like Johnny Appleseed Park or something.
Memorial. Like
that checks out.
It does, yeah. However, her GPS, we get close, and all of a sudden it's like, turn left on Harry Balls Drive. And we're like,
and we all look at each other like, did it just say Harry Balls Drive? Yeah.
So we had the giggles from then on. And I swear to you, if you go to his gravesite, which we turned on the wrong road, we turned on to Harry Balls Drive.
I'd open a restaurant.
Yeah. So you have to, it's actually like two streets before that. So if you go too far, you'll see Harry Balls and turn around to Harry Balls, which is what we had to do.
No one likes Harry Balls.
No. And just so that we are all aware of how this street is spelled, it's H-A-R-R-Y, Harry. Balls is spelled B-A-A-L-S. So I'm assuming they've named the street after someone with a name.
There's some people who don't name things after.
No. No, I would have named it like Harry Drive or something.
Could you imagine that? What is it? What are they, board meetings or whatever? Yeah. Could you imagine that board meeting and everybody, all of these grown-ass men sitting around a table going, we should really name this road Harry Balls. Right.
Now, I want to know who this Harry Balls character is. We're going to have to look that up for another episode.
I can't believe you haven't already looked it up.
I didn't because I was looking up so much stuff. But anyway.
He didn't want to Google that.
No. I was going to let Josh do it because his search engine would give us the real answer. But anyway, I just got to thinking, like, if my last name was Balls, I would not be naming my son Harry.
No, no.
What is that family doing?
Or Richard.
Right? Surely it has to be, like, he has to be somebody really, really old. And back then, they didn't think of things like that.
He's probably, like, the nicest man in the world.
Oh, I'm sure.
I hope.
Probably died at 90 years old or something.
He helped all the orphans and Harry Ball.
Oh, my God. Now I really want to know who he was.
I know.
I guess it's a mystery for another day. Guess what we're going to be doing at lunch.
But we also visited the old fort that's in Fort Wayne. Have you been there?
No, I don't go to Fort Wayne very often.
Okay. So the old fort, I was looking up some of the history behind the old fort, why it's there. I mean, it's an actual, like, old fort that's right by the river downtown.
They needed protection from all the Indian land they stole around here.
Yeah, that's basically what happened. So Fort Wayne was actually a strategic location because, I don't know if you're aware of this, but Three Rivers is in Fort Wayne. Oh. So they have St. Joseph River, St. Mary's River, and those two rivers merge in the downtown area to form the Maumee River, I believe, which is named after some Native Americans from the area.
Yeah,
During the time period when people were traveling by river, it was also an ideal location because just 2 miles away from St. Mary's River, you could haul your goods over to the Little Wabash River, which is what it was called then. Now it's called the Little River. Aww. And that river flows into the Wabash River, which will take you here to Wabash and beyond.
Don't get in it. There's E. coli. Right.
But that river, the Wabash River, will flow into the Ohio River and the Mississippi River. So you could take the river from Fort Wayne.
Go to the ocean.
And go, pretty much wherever you wanted.
Isn't that awesome?
Yeah. So the area was also significant because you could easily transport goods from Canada all the way down to the Gulf of Mexico just by getting onto the river exchange that was in Fort Wayne.
Highway.
Yeah.
Who knew?
Well, you know, when you get into a rabbit hole, you just have to keep looking. And so I was wondering, like, who was the first, like, people in the area that weren't Native Americans? And I came across some interesting information that's probably not interesting to anyone else, but I wanted to share it with you before.
Oh, no, it'll be interesting to me.
French or Irish.
Yeah. So the French were the first Europeans to settle in that area. They arrived in the 1600s, and the Iroquois, which were Native Americans mostly in the New York area, they had come over with the help of the British and the Dutch to drive out the local Native Americans, which they had called them woodland tribes. Like if you were in a wooded area and you were a local small tribe and you were a bunch of tribes, they would just call them woodland tribes back then. But the Iroquois drove them out of the area. But by 1701, there was a treaty that had formed between the Iroquois, the British, the French, and those original tribes. And it allowed those original tribes to come back into the area. And one of those tribes was the Miami, which we are all familiar with. They had formed a village where those three rivers met, which is now downtown Fort Wayne. And they called that little village Kikionga, is what I assume it's pronounced.
Pretty.
Yeah. Well, the French had built a trading post near that town with the goal of selling fur to the Native Americans in this entire area.
Big beaver area.
Right, right. So they would harvest about 80,000 to 100,000 beaver pelts a year. I mean, I can't even imagine.
I don't know why we never see them anymore.
Yeah, no kidding.
But they would take those beaver pelts and ship them back to Europe. And they would do that by taking the river to Detroit and then to Montreal and to Canada.
A lot of damn beavers.
I know. That's what I was thinking.
How do we have rivers flowing around here?
No kidding. Well, the French built Fort Miami in the area in 1722, and that was to help protect their trading post because, of course, they're making a lot of money from this trading post, so they want to protect it with a fort. It was located on St. Mary's River, which is in modern-day Fort Wayne, of course, and it housed a garrison of 20 to 30 men.
Ooh.
Now, when the British and the French started disagreeing, for the lack of a better term, in Europe, you know, when they were having a little twiff.
Those two countries? No.
No, I know. They were always. So that their disagreement in Europe transferred over to the Americas. And so with the help of the British, the Miami Native Americans captured Fort Miami. Now, of course, I mean, can you imagine how upset the French would be that the British is helping the Native Americans capture a fort? I know. Well, they took the entire garrison as prisoners, and they burnt the fort to the ground. Well, by 1750, the French built a second Fort Miami, which was located on the St. Joseph River, which I just thought was kind of funny. Like, why wouldn't you put it in the same place?
Right.
Unless you were like, you know what? They took that location, so yeah. we're gonna move it over here.
Put it over here.
And that fort remained until the end of the French and Indian War. And at the end of that war, Fort Miami was surrendered to the British, and they occupied that fort until 1763. At that point, the Miami took it. They were able to take it over again as part of Pontiac's War. Now, I assume that you guys don't know what Pontiac's War was. Pontiac was the leader of the Ottawa tribe. And so he was the most prominent figure of the war, which is why they named it after him. It started because Native Americans were growing alarmed by all the policies that were being placed on them by the British. And so that, of course, made all of those tribes very unhappy.
Well, duh.
So they started attacking British forts and settlements. So that during that time, they had destroyed 9 forts and they killed or captured hundreds of those people. Ultimately, the British changed their policies because of all of this riffraff that was going on in the Americas. Yeah. And so they were able to make peace again with a treaty after 2 years of them fighting.
I'm trying not to laugh because I'm like, these poor natives, a treaty.
I know.
If only
right.
they knew.
Right. Well, by 1793, the U.S. government was like, you know, there's a lot of Native Americans that's over there in that fort area, which is now Fort Wayne. So we need to send something over there to more establish ourselves in the area. So they sent General Anthony Wayne to ease the tension between those settlers and the Native Americans. Well, he knew as he was coming over, when he was crossing into Ohio, that he really needed to create a protected supply line between Fort Washington, which is in modern day Cincinnati. And so he started like constructing forts along the way from modern-day Cincinnati to Fort Wayne. And so he was also instructed by the U.S. government that he needed to build a fort at Kionga, so at the Native American town that's in Fort Wayne now.
I mean, you do it.
Right.
Do we know what that means, the Kionga, that word?
I don't know what it means. I'm going to say it means
land of big beaver.
I didn't know if you looked up what it meant or not.
No. I didn't.
Big beaver.
The land of big beaver. Now, the Native Americans and Wayne started fighting while they were over in Ohio. And so it all came to this big battle, which is called the Battle of Fallen Timbers, which is in the modern day city of Maumee, Ohio. And that's a suburb of Toledo. So Toledo and Fort Wayne are very, very close cities, so it wasn't very far out of Fort Wayne. By August of 1794, General Wayne defeated the Native American army that had been sent there. Now, the Native American army was comprised of a lot of the tribes from the area. They all kind of got together and formed a large army.
He's pissed.
Right. But when General Wayne defeated that army, it really ruined the resistance. So the Native Americans in the area kind of just, you know, was like, okay, well, we don't have an army anymore, so we're going to have to go with the flow. So by then, from modern day Toledo to Fort Wayne, General Wayne makes his way to that city of Kionga. And once he arrives, he builds a permanent fort. And that was completed in October of 1794. The fort was named in his honor, so that's where we get the name Fort Wayne. And it would be the first of 3 U.S. forts built in modern-day downtown Fort Wayne. Yeah. So that is a little history of not only the little fort that we went to, which was rebuilt after a while. So it's a really cool fort. They designed it using notes of what the original fort looked like and how it was built. So if you ever would like a little trip, Josh, it's just an hour away, and it's really pretty. I mean, it's right next to the river.
However,
when we went there, there's some volunteers that help run it.
Yeah, that'll take you a little tour.
Yeah. Well, the volunteers asked us if we wanted a tour or whatever, and we didn't. We were just lurking around, you know, minding our own business. Well, Rick goes into one of the, like, one of the rooms to look around, because it's a nice size, small fort.
It's what, four big buildings.
Yeah, four large buildings that are made into a fort. So there's a huge wall, there's a huge gate. But anyway, so Rick walks into one of the buildings, and there's a two volunteers in there who didn't realize that he had walked in, and they were, like, going to town, like, making out.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
I was thinking old people volunteers.
No, no. They're probably like high school, senior high school.
It was only one older. Of the volunteers, though, and a different girl, right?
Yeah. I don't think the other girl.
Yeah, the other one was still doing a tour.
Yeah. I think it was just some random girl, maybe his girlfriend.
What I had to say, act like it's raining and wear your rubbers.
Oh, my gosh. It was so funny. It was so awkward after that. We're like, okay.
I have a tip.
Is this part of the tour?
I have a tip.
If you do go. That's what Kim was saying.
Yeah. I have a tip if you do go, Josh. So you park across the street, and you can either walk across the street to go to the fort, or there's a little trail that goes down and goes by the river underneath the bridge and up around. So you don't have to walk across the street and get hit. On the way there, we walked across the street. Well, of course, I'm the slowest one walking.
I thought she was going to get hit.
And I thought I was going to get hit. So I was like,
people just don't slow down.
No, they don't. So I'm like, okay, on the way back, we'll just go underneath the bridge. While I was leading, I had left a little bit sooner than everybody else because I walk slower than everybody else. So I figured once they caught up with me, they would follow me down underneath the bridge and up onto the other side. No, they did not.
That's more walking. There's hills involved.
Kim was kidnapped for two whole days.
Right. And I know firsthand that, like, in those areas, shady crap happens. Okay. And I don't want to be going. I was like, I'd rather risk playing Frogger across the street.
I did learn a life hack whenever you have to cross a road. Just pick up a rock or a brick. And boy, those cars will stop. It's so nice of them. I've seen that in large cities because there's a spot where a lot of elderly people would cross. And now they have an actual bucket of bricks for these old ladies.
Well,
that's funny.
Sometimes they'll put like a foam brick that looks like a real brick. And you take it as you cross the road.
Mm-hmm. I look right at him too. Yeah.
Here I am. I'm almost halfway. I'm over halfway to get underneath the bridge. And I thought, okay, they're going to come up behind me, you know. And I turned around and there they go over the. And I'm like, I'm not going to turn around and walk back up that hill. And go, I'm just going to go underneath this bridge.
Take me now, Lord.
The shadiest shit I've ever seen. Oh, my God.
She got back to the car with huge eyes.
There was trash underneath there. There was a backpack. And, I mean, it was just all kinds of crap. And I was like, oh, my. You could tell that homeless people had been staying down there. But there was nobody there. However, when got around and was getting in the car, I'm like, thanks, guys. Thanks for leaving the people out to kill me while I go underneath this bridge so I don't get hit by a car.
There was a risk we were willing to take.
Car or murder.
Right. Take your pick.
At least cars have insurance usually.
That's true.
That's right.
The one thing I learned while Rick was here, can we really call ourselves Hoosiers? Because we were trying to figure out what we were going to do and where we were going to go while he was here. Well, we were going to go to the Indianapolis Speedway and go to the museum. I've never been to the Indianapolis Speedway, neither has anybody else. I had never been to Johnny Apple.
Yeah. And then they go on another circle.
I think it's cool. I like the motorsports. I
wouldn't watch a race.
Yeah, see, but I do.
I would. I mean, I like tours. So there's tours that you can take.
And it's history.
Complex. Yeah. And so I was like, oh, that sounds fun. And Kim was like, there's a little bus. They'll take you around. Mm-hmm. And I was like,
take you a trip
less
around
walking, tour. Yeah. Perfect.
Right. So they have the museum closed because they're renovating it. So we're like, okay, so now what are we going to do? So then we decided we were going to go to Fort Wayne and go to the fort and go see Johnny Appleseed. Two other things that I've never seen in my life living in Indiana.
I honestly didn't know that's where he was buried.
A lot of people don't.
I know the most that I know about Johnny Appleseed is Appleseed was not the only seed he spread across the Midwest.
That's
he was basically the first version of the milkman.
Oh, God.
So all these ladies, their husbands were off at war, and He had a bushel of apples and a full sack.
It wouldn't have taken much for Josh.
I had no idea. It was really cool where he was buried at, though, because they had his grave in a wrought iron fence. And at the end of it, there was two apple trees, and wasn't there a cherry tree, too, at the entrance of it? It was really kind of cool. But I didn't realize how close it was. You can tell
his grave is really old. His grave is right behind the Colosseum.
The Colosseum. You can see the Colosseum.
Yeah, it's right there. I don't know if you've ever seen the Colosseum. It's in Fort Wayne. It's a rather large Colosseum. I've only been there
like maybe five times.
Okay. I had been there a few times, but I didn't. Yeah, I didn't realize how close it was.
It's our second largest city in the U.S.
That's why I don't go.
Not in the U.S. In Indiana.
Too many people.
Too many people.
I only go there if like a doctor is
there. What I like about Fort Wayne is it's so spread out. So it's not as nearly as busy as Indianapolis. So like Indianapolis, once you get into the town, you're just like, gosh, so much traffic. It's hard to get around. Fort Wayne's not really like that for me.
No, I don't think so either.
There's a lot of construction going on right now. If you come into Indiana,
I don't think
we're under construction.
Yeah, I don't think it has near as much traffic as what Indianapolis does.
Oh, no, not at all.
I went there to take mom to an appointment, and it was over at around rush hour. And it took like five or six, I'm not sure what it's called, red light to green light before I could make it through one damn green light. I'm like, come on. When that turns green, you hit that gas. Put down the phone.
That is funny, especially because you have a thing on the back of your car that says,
have a nice day. Uh-huh. I wish I could
have it changed. He went out and ripped that sucker off.
He shit and died.
Trash. Right.
That's awful. That's just horrible.
Well, Kim, what is your mystery for us today?
Would you like to guess what my mystery is today?
The Loch Ness Monster.
Where your panties are. I don't know.
It is the Loch Ness Monster.
Is it really?
That is so funny that Josh
has randomly guessed it.
Yeah. I had found all kinds of stuff about
Loch Ness. I was close to death. Now I'm psychic.
Right.
You're funny. So today we're going to travel to the misty waters of Scotland's Highlands to explore one of the most enduring mysteries of all time, the Loch Ness Monster.
The one that everyone has heard about and no one will mispronounce.
Mm-hmm, right.
Down in the loch.
Down in the loch.
I don't like either one of you, Tom.
I know that. All I know about the loch, I forget what it's called, the lake it's in, is it's one of the deepest lakes in the world.
Yeah, it is.
I had no idea.
So, of course, she's also known as Nessie.
Nessie.
I like Nessie. It's cute.
Easier to say.
Now, Nessie has captured the imagination of peoples around the world nearly a century. But where did the legend begin?
A whale penis.
Is there any truth behind the sightings? And why does Nessie continue to intrigue us? Well, uncover the origins and the sightings and the hoaxes and in the enduring appeal of this elusive creature. Our journey begins in Scotland Highlands in the body of water known as Loch Ness. The deep, dark waters stretch over 20 miles. I didn't realize it was that big.
Oh, yeah. It's a good size.
I knew it was really deep, but I didn't realize it was that big. Surrounded by steep hills and shrouded in mist, setting the perfect stage for a mysterious creature to hide.
You know how many of Kim's lovers have said that?
I didn't realize it was that big.
Uh-huh. I knew it was deep, but I didn't realize it was that big.
Surrounded by mist and foothills. Uh-huh.
Can't pronounce it. Go ahead, Kim.
Hey, sometimes my tongue gets wound around my eye teeth and I can't see what I'm saying.
That's why her husband stayed with her so long. What'd that tongue do?
I don't like either one of you. So the first recorded mention of a creature in the vicinity of Loch Ness dates all the way back to the 6th century. St. Columba, an Irish monk, is said to have encountered a river beast in the River Ness, which flows into Loch Ness. According to the story, the beast attacked a swimmer by St. Columba, armed only with the power of his faith, ordered the creature to retreat, and believe it or not, it did.
Yeah, believe that. Mm-hmm. Way to turn a whole bunch of locals to Christian. Oh, there's creatures in there. Right. Only your faith can drive it away.
Right.
Dee McKenzie reportedly saw an object resembling a log or an upturned boat wriggling and churning the waters, moving slowly at first before disappearing with faster speed in October 1871. So he was the next one that seen it. Now, Alexander McDonald, oh, the other one was McKenzie. I was like, are they the same name? Didn't realize they
were different. That's racist, Kim. Yeah. Not all Scottish names sound alike.
Hey, they started with an M. M-A-C. M-A-C. See? Not crazy.
Maybe. Sure.
Maybe I am a little. So Alexander McDonald in 1818 said he saw a large stubby-legged animal surfacing from the loch and propelled itself within 50 yards of the shore where he stood. Alexander told Alex Campbell what he saw, and Alex described it as looking as a large salamander. Growing older has been less mysterious ever since I started using Hormone Harmony to help with the symptoms of menopause. Between the sleepless nights, random hot flashes, mild mood swings, it was making it really difficult to focus, rest, and enjoy myself. Hormone Harmony has helped make traveling around with two young men in a mystery machine a lot more bearable. Hormone Harmony is not just for those of us suffering from menopause. Women who have symptoms of hormonal imbalances can benefit from Hormone Harmony. It has helped guide me through the mystery of menopause into a more harmonious journey through a natural process in each woman's life. The company behind Hormone Harmony, Happy Mammoth, advocates for women and helps them regain control of their hormones. With over 17,000 reviews for Hormone Harmony and a bottle sold every 24 seconds, more women are feeling more like themselves now more than ever. Thank you, Hormone Harmony, for unmasking the monster behind my menopause. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code MYSTERY at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use code MYSTERY for 15% off today.
Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
Now, believers in Nessie appointed these ancient tales as evidence that the creature has been lurking in the waters for over a millennia. However, skeptics argue that the story, like many others in time, is more likely a piece of religious propaganda or a reworking of earlier Celtic myths about water beasts. Now, we're going to fast forward a little bit to the 20th century, and the legend of Nessie really takes off. Now, in May of 1933, Alex Campbell, which was the same guy as before, he wrote an article about a couple named John and Addie Spencer. They reported seeing an enormous creature with the body of a whale rolling in the water in the loch while they were driving on A-82. It must be the name of a road.
Yeah.
In the article, the word monster was used for the very first time. So that was the first time Nessie was ever referred to as a monster. The Courier in 2017 published parts of Campbell's article, which had the title Strange Spectacle of Loch Ness. Here's part of the article. The creature disproportioned itself, rolling and plunging for fully a minute as its body, resembling that of a whale in the water, cascaded and churned like a simmering cauldron. Soon, however, it disappeared in the rolling mess of foam. Both onlookers confused what they had been seeing was something uncanny about the whole thing, for they realized that there was no ordinary Dinez of the depths, because apart from its enormous size, the beast, in taking a final plunge, sent out waves that were big enough to have been caused by a passenger steamer.
Oh. See, I don't know how much I trust a country where they brag about how drunk they are all the time.
Hey, that's a good point, actually.
Right.
Now, later that year, in July of 1933, George Spencer and his wife saw, quote, the most extraordinary form of animal cross the road in front of their car, which I think is really weird.
Mm-hmm.
They described the creature as having a large body about 4 feet high and 25 feet long, and a narrow neck slightly larger than an elephant's trunk, and as was long as 10 to 20 foot width of the road. They saw no limbs. It lurched across the road toward the lock 20 yards away, leaving a trail of broken undergrowth in its wake. Spencer also described it as the nearest approach to a dragon or prehistoric animal that he had ever seen in his life, and as having a long neck. This cracks me up because he has a few different quotes, and they don't all really jive together, or he's kind of saying the same thing, just in a different way.
So he's drunk.
Absolutely. The nearest approach to a dragon or prehistoric animal that he had ever seen in his life, and also having a long neck which moved up and down in a manner of a scenic railway. I don't get that. Why would it look like a scenic railway?
Well, I think that those scenic railways like go up and down rivers and stuff, you know? Maybe. So maybe that's just what I was talking about.
He was trying to draw in rail tourism.
Right.
That could be. It had an animal in its mouth and had a body that was fairly big with a high back, but if there were any feet, they didn't see it. And as far as the tail, I cannot say, as it moved so rapidly that we got to the spot and it probably disappeared into the lock. Probably disappeared into the lock. How are they not going to know if they're right there? Now, side note, in 2013, the Columbia University did prove that this was a fake story.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
How'd they prove it?
Shocked.
I don't remember. I think they finally admitted that it was a fake story.
Oh, okay.
At some point. I don't remember. I don't remember how they proved it was fake.
Sodium pentazole. Truth serum.
On the 4th of August, 1933, the Courier published a report of Spencer's sightings, leading to the solidification of the actual name Loch Ness Monster. So that's when she was actually called the Loch Ness Monster.
Old Nessie.
Now, that sighting started a media frenzy. Suddenly, everyone was seeing Nessie, one of the most famous pieces of evidence, called the surgeon's photograph, was taken by a man named Robert Wilson. Now, it was published in April 1934, but Wilson refused to have his name associated with the photo, and he kept saying that he did not take the photo.
Hmm.
And the photo appeared to show a long-necked creature rising from the water, and for decades, it was considered the best proof of Nessie's existence.
I know the photo you're talking
about. Yeah, it's a black and white photo. Yeah, everybody's seen that picture.
It's like Bigfoot, blurry as hell, no lighting. Right.
It doesn't look real to me.
No.
Because whenever I look at it, I see that it looks like the waves that it's making. It looks like the waves are really tiny compared to it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And it just doesn't, like, the scale doesn't look correct to me. I think that whatever they had used was a small little thing that they made. And then the waves that you're seeing are small. Otherwise.
How do you think they, tell me how you think they made it?
Paper mache.
Probably put on a little boat or something. Like a little something that floats, and they were able to float it out there. But like whenever I would see the picture, I think it was on an old episode of Unsolved Mysteries when I was young, and that's how I remember seeing the picture. But I just remember thinking like it looked like a little boat, because Josh and I were nerds. We were weird children. So we would sometimes like fill up a sink of water, and we would like, I remember making like little paper boats.
Yeah.
And so what it reminded me of was like trying to make waves with my paper boat in the sink, and how the waves are real tiny. Otherwise, this picture that you're seeing, it looks, the waves would have to be like massive waves. And it just doesn't make sense to me. Like, this thing is like making little movements in the water. And just the waves just...
The
like
math ain't mathin'.
No, it reminds me of the sink.
Now, as many legends, not everything appears as it seems. In 1990, it was revealed that the surgeon photograph was in fact a hoax. Christian Sperling admitted that he had made a head and neck of wood putty and attached it to a toy submarine.
Oh.
A bastard.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Oh, all Nessie does is teach the world that Scots are drunks and liars.
And liars.
And they will not tell the truth until they're at death's door.
Now, yet, this revelation, it did dampen the public's interest. And the myth of Nessie was always too big to be sunk by a single photograph. So even after that photograph and they found that it was a hoax, there's still people that think that it's real.
Well, yeah, I mean, I would never say no to an, like, if I ever went there, I would take the tour. I'd buy one of them stuffed Nessies with a little kilt on it. I'd do me a man who thinks he saw one.
It's huge tourism. It's a huge tourism attraction.
I would do it like... fully, like, I'd have binoculars fully, like, I might be the one that actually, I'm sober as hell. I might
actually. Sounds fun.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, you just go along with it because it sounds fun.
Now, the scientific community has always been skeptical of the Loch Ness Monster. Over the years, numerous explanations have been proposed to debunk the sightings. Some believe that people saw as simply large fish, floating logs, or even otters swimming in formation.
Not beavers.
Not beavers, otters. Now, others suggested that the legend persists because of a mix of hoaxes, misidentification, and the human tendency to see what we actually want to see.
Mm. Whiskey.
All right. Now, in 1950 and 1960, several sonar expeditions were conducted on Loch Ness. While some of these expeditions picked up unusual readings, none provided conclusive evidence of a large creature living in the loch. More recently, in 2018, a team of scientists conducted a comprehensive DNA survey of Loch Ness. Their results found no trace of any unknown large creatures, though they did detect a significant amount of eel DNA, leading to speculation that the monster could actually be an oversized eel.
Gross.
I know, I'd freak out if I saw one.
I've seen several shows like debunking Loch and whatnot where they've done the sonar, and like one of the theories was that there could be an underwater cave system that leads out to the ocean, and that's how it, you know, it only comes into the loch to breed or look for a mate. How deep it is. It's so, like, it doesn't, when you think of Loch Ness, I just think of like a small reservoir like we have around us. You don't think 20 miles and one of the deepest in the world.
I don't remember even seeing a number on how deep it was. All I really remember seeing is that it was one of the deepest places.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have more recently because anytime I say the word Lake Titicaca, I always have to read it because it's just so funny to me. And it was like on a list of like, these are the deepest, like Lake Titicaca is the deepest, highest elevated. Yeah. And then the loch was, I was like, of all, never would have guessed.
Yeah, you would have thought that an ocean would be deep, a lot deeper than that. But so with all of the evidence or lack of, why does the legend of the Loch Ness Monsters persist? Part of the answers lies in our love of mystery and the unknown. Nessie represents the possibility that are still secrets in the world, things that we don't fully understand. Loch Ness itself adds to the allure. Its deep, dark waters surrounded by steep, misty hills create an atmosphere ripe for legends. The loch's sheer size and depth mean that even today, it's easy to imagine something lurking in its underexplored depths.
Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun. Nessie has also become a symbol of Scotland, drawing tourists from around the globe, all hoping to get a glimpse of the elusive creature. In many ways, Nessie is more than just a monster. It's a cultural icon, a piece of folklore that has become part of the fabric of the Highlands.
In reality, it was just a Scottish man swimming in his kilt.
Mm-hmm.
Look at it.
Now, whether you believe Nessie is a prehistoric creature, a giant eel, or simply a figment of their collective imagination, one thing is clear. The Loch Ness Monster is here to stay. It's a reminder that even in our modern and scientifically advanced world, there's still room for wonder and mystery. And on Unmasked, we're going to talk about all of the searches and all of the different things that they've done to try to find Nessie.
Oh, fun. Yeah, it's not something I really believe in, but if I went, I would fully
hook, line, and
immerse
sinker.
Myself. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. I say it. I saint it.
Josh would have the hat.
Of course, I would.
Of course, I waited till the last minute to do this. And I started about 8 o'clock last night, and I finally, about 12:30, I was like, I can't hold my eyes open anymore. There was so much more that, I mean, I didn't get into really any of the hoaxes, different hoaxes. And
well, there's just so many.
Right.
I mean, hell, I remember there's a Scooby-Doo movie about the Loch Ness Monster. It's pretty good. And in that one, it is real in the end. Mm. So Scooby says it's real.
There we go.
Yeah.
Has to be real.
The only authority we need.
Right.
I don't think I believe in that.
You
don't
think that you believe?
No, I think it was, like you said, when I would have lost all faith when the guy was like, my faith drove it away.
Right.
You heathen pagans, you need to be, you know, turn to Christianity or this creature's going to get you. It also is a good warning is don't swim in anything that's not a pool.
Mm-hmm. Right. Oh, yeah.
What the hell is in that?
Yeah, if I can't see the bottom, I'm not getting in.
No.
Hell no.
No.
I just thought it was really interesting that that's been over, you know, almost 100 years.
Oh, yeah.
Or long, well, 6th century, it's been a lot longer than that.
Yeah, but they didn't have cable for most of that. They had, you know, had to have something to do.
Mm-hmm.
Just drinking whiskey and banging your sister gets so exhausting, I've heard.
Does it, Josh?
Yeah, like you would know, Josh. Right.
I think that if it wasn't for people who would do those hoax, like what when they end up finding out that it's just a hoax, you know, anytime someone sees something, it's just going to diminish what they say or what they see.
Oh, yeah.
Whenever you have people who are, you know, committing fraud.
Mm-hmm. Just money-making schemes.
Yeah. Same way with Bigfoot.
Yeah.
You know, you have so many instances of people fraudulently creating videos and audio and footprints. So people who say they actually see it, it's really hard to believe them because we know of instances where people are creating fraudulent things.
Mm-hmm. There's that
newer. Then you also have the people, though, that don't, they say they have seen it and they don't have any evidence or anything, but they say they've seen it. And it's just because we trick our minds into believing something and we're going to see it.
Right.
You know, we can make anything into what she is.
Yeah.
You know, you see a log floating and all you're seeing is just the, you know, it's up and down in the water and you're just seeing the very tip of it. It's Nessie's back, you know, and there has been many, many sightings like that.
Well, and people were tripping throughout most of history. I mean, the water had crap in it that would make you hallucinate. And then, I mean, it's Scotland where they drank a lot of alcohol. And I mean, the way they used to make alcohol was not, I mean, most people were tripping balls from that, the moldy bread they
hairy
were
using. Balls.
Right. Big old hairy balls and beavers. Ugh, gross.
I could just see Josh and I going to go check out and see, you know, see if we can see Nessie and with our binoculars, but we're really looking for Scottish guys and kilts.
I was just about ready to say, look at that one.
Now, I think just to be the devil's advocate here, on the other side of this, you have people who, I mean, even now, if I were to go out on the lake, if I have my phone in my pocket, because, I mean, you're not always going to have your phone on the camera.
Right.
While you're there, the phone's going to die. Mm. So at some point in time, you're going to give up and just put it back in your pocket. And I'm just thinking, like, there have been many instances where I see something and, like, you have, like, a two-second window to take a picture of it. And you can't take a picture of it. Because by the time you get your phone out, open up the camera app, camera app's on, it's change gone. It over to video, it's gone.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if I were there and then all of a sudden you see a like a thing that I want to take a picture of.
Well, and the picture's never as good. Mm-mm. You could look up at the moon and it's the biggest, fullest moon. Oh, yeah. And it looks so big.
Take a picture of it and it looks like a little pin.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, it looks like a light bulb off. And it's like, right. What the hell does this translate?
That's, I always get so annoyed whenever I go to national parks and things because like it's just so beautiful and I want to like take a picture. And then you take a picture and you're like, this looks like crap.
Right. This sucks.
It was, yeah, I agree with that because when we went to the Grand Canyon, mm-hmm. I took numerous pictures of the Grand Canyon, and they just don't look real.
Yeah. It doesn't. You don't even want to show people because you're like, this, it cheapens it.
Mm-hmm. It does. It looks absolutely nothing compared to what you're seeing by your own naked eyes, you know. And I loved going there. It was absolutely beautiful, and I hate that, although the pictures are really pretty. Does
still
not
can't
do
believe
it.
I climbed
does
down.
Does not
in
do it.
It
justice.
It gives. I'm real brave sometimes, and then like later on, when you think about it, you're like, I can't believe I did that. There was a part where I had to jump over a crack and two big rocks, and this is just straight down into the. Other people were doing it. There was no sign that said you couldn't.
If other people were jumping off of the cliff, would you have done it too?
Yeah,
but every year Grand Canyon. There are people who die there because of.
But what a way to go.
What I couldn't get over at the Grand Canyon is how many people are doing like selfies on the edge.
Idiots.
And I saw some people doing it and I thought, I'm going to have a panic attack just watching them. Like, stand off of the edge, take your picture, making it look like you're on the edge.
Hey,
Photoshop yourself. Mm-hmm. I don't care what you got to do. But I was like, there are people who fall in doing those stupid things.
Shane and I have such a huge thing with heights anyway. Oh, yeah. Him and I were standing way back just looking. You know, it's beautiful, beautiful. Don't expect us to go to the edge. I can see it just fine from here. I'm not going to the edge.
Well, I saw a trail and I'm like, it's a national park. The trail has to be safe.
No one dies in a national park.
No, there was a spot where off the trail where you, like there was a, two big rocks, and I went to the first big rock because there was probably about as wide as that table, so less than three, like manageable, but not worth the risk that mm-hmm. you had to mm-hmm. jump to the other rock that there was nothing. It was just a big boulder, and people were hanging off of it, taking a selfie, and I'm like, I don't give a shit to take a picture. I want to live.
They'll find your phone and get the picture later, I guess, if you fall.
People are like, you want us to take your picture out there? No, I'm getting the hell out of here.
You know the one thing I really regret about that trip out there?
What?
Not all packing this warmer. It was cold as shit. It was windy and
you're
cold.
You're crazy. You're crazy. Anyway, the one thing that I hugely regret is not taking, I mean, we took plenty of selfies at different places, you know, but it was of our whole group. Oh, yeah. It wasn't just of, you know, the three of us mm-hmm. or just you and I or just, you know, it was always with all of them. So, I mean, there's one that I would like to mark scratch out with me. I wonder if I could get away with cutting it out. And
they have AI Photoshop. Yeah. Just this person out of there or these people. Yeah, I want to go back to that. Because, like, I would want to camp there. Like a few hours wasn't enough.
No, not near
enough.
Like
just to drive through the park, I kept wanting to be like, I want to get out and walk, except there's moose.
Right.
I would have been extremely happy if we'd have had the time to drive around it and see it from different angles.
Oh, yeah. I would love to go down in it.
Yeah.
Like to get down to the bottom. Because there's like a little river
down there. You know, the only way down there is by donkey, right?
I don't know that.
I went to the Grand Canyon.
No, I am not doing that.
On a little ass. I'd ride me a donkey down the Grand Canyon. Oh,
says the man that said 120. Yeah, says the man that's 120 pounds soaking wet. Right. And I mean, I don't trust no donkey.
I think
to carry
a donkey would
ass.
Look at me and be like, "No thanks."
I'm running.
Excuse me, sir. No, thank you.
I'm gonna kill us both.
Right. We would have to get Loch Ness, sir, to get you down to the bottom of that canyon.
Do you have any Clydesdales?
Oh, that's awful. Yeah, I would love to go back there though.
Yeah,
a couple hours just
even the drive there was neat. I love that. We stopped off Route 66 at a historic
that was
little
really
town
cool.
And it was a German restaurant mm-hmm. where the owner was a sweet little, and I had the best sauerkraut. I still yes. dream of it.
I swear, just as soon as our wonderful people that listen to us keep telling other people to listen to us, mm-hmm. and when we have this huge ass following, we are going to take a trip on Route 66. I oh, yeah. want to do that so bad.
We'll take us a helicopter tour of right. the of Grand the Canyon.
I would be so happy to fly to LA or whatever, wherever it ends, and rent a car and drive all the way home mm-hmm. on Route 66. That would cool. be so cool.
I have heard the Jaguar has made its way back home to its ancestral lands around the Grand Canyon.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh. Yeah, during... I believe it was Teddy Roosevelt. There was like a great national killing of most predators, like wolves and bears. And I had no idea that jaguars were native to south of the United States. And I think now two or three have been spotted around that area, wow. which is a very good sign. So they're making slowly migrating back.
Wow.
I love that.
Nice.
Yeah.
How about that?
Well, Kim, what is your...
So I'm starting to get to where I'm thinking it without having to go. I really need to start writing these down or putting them all in the same place, because every once in a while I'll read one and I'm like, I think I've already done that one. So let's hope that I've not done these two, but let's see.
We'll tell you.
Dennis Hawkins, a 48-year-old man who tried to rob a bank in Pittsburgh, clearly didn't get the memo about needing a good disguise to become quickly blended in with the crowd after the crime. As he chose a woman's blonde wig, fake breasts, and a bright clown pants as his disguise.
Incognito.
Sticking out.
Right.
Even worse still, in his failed attempt to pretend to be a woman, he didn't even take the time to shave his facial hair.
Oh, gee. First rule of drag. No. I mean, all drag is valid, even you bearded queens. Blech.
As if the man wasn't noticeable enough, he drew even more attention to himself when he tried to steal a car from a nearby gas station, where the attendant called the police, who apprehended Hawkins soon after. I mean, hello? Clown pants?
We're looking for the ugliest woman you've ever seen. Have you?
With a beard.
The ugliest pants.
And a fake blonde wig. You can always tell wigs.
Oh, yeah.
So you would know that he's.
I don't know. There's some really good wigs.
Yeah, but if he's robbing a lace front from a mile away.
Can you?
Oh, yeah.
If he's wearing clown pants, I doubt he has a really nice wig on.
Yeah, probably not.
And one of them Timu.
Probably.
All right. In 2010, Bailey and an unnamed juvenile accomplice decided to rob a bank in Fairfield, Kentucky. But in an attempt to speed up the process, Bailey called the bank in advance to let them know that they were coming to rob.
Oh, my God. Hey, yeah, I'm going to be there about 11 o'clock. If you could just have all that money in a bag, that'd be great.
Right.
Real do me a favor.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
His obvious intent was to give the bank plenty of time to get the money ready, so all he had to do was quickly pick it up and walk out. Of course, the bank decided to call the authorities and notify them of the robbers arriving, and the two men were arrested without incident.
My God. This hurts.
It does sometimes.
It hurts.
Sometimes it does really hurt.
Hurts my head.
I need to come up with another thing. That way I can rotate them like Josh does.
That's your challenge for next time,
then. Yeah.
Who knew being a criminal? Who knew we were sitting here criminal masterminds?
I know.
Oh, I know what my second one will be. Oh, do you? Yeah. I know what my second will be.
Okay.
You'll find out next time.
Okay. Dun, dun, dun.
Kim's going to leave us in the dark until next time.
Yep. Guess you're just dark.
Yeah, I like switching between something really nice and something really stupid.
Yeah, maybe it'll give a little time for some more stupid people to do some crimes, because I see the same ones over quite a bit. Mm-hmm. And I'm getting to where I'm really questioning myself. Did I do that one?
My favorite's still the Sharpie.
Oh, I know.
Oh my God.
Yeah, those two that I got was on the same thing where I got that one from.
That one was so stupid. It makes you weak. Like it makes you like.
no.
Mm-hmm. We're going to do a live show sometime, and I can just see us showing up with Sharpies all over our face.
Just not black. Can't do black
face. Right. No, not black Sharpie.
Do orange.
Yeah. Should we go ahead and do that? Should we throw out our next challenge for us to do
a live event? Well, I had the idea that we could have our Patreon listeners join us and listen to a live podcast that we do. So they could, like, you know, we have a fourth chair here. It's like they're in the fourth chair. So they can listen in live.
I do have an idea for our next, like, live sleepover thing. I keep seeing these real funny ones where there'll, like, be a couple or a couple friends and they'll paint each other.
Oh, my gosh. So,
paint?
Yeah.
Like, you don't have to be real big.
Yeah. I mean, none of them are, like, I've seen maybe two that were good. But that's the fun in it. The how funny. And, you know, some of the people, most of them, you know, they try really hard. They just aren't very good at it.
My luck, it won't wash off the next day.
I know. I could just see myself showing up to work going,
Well, no, you actually paint on a canvas, you uncivilized swine. We're not, you all ain't painting my face.
I thought you meant
I'm a drag queen. I ain't going to let you, one of you will look fabulous and the other two of us going to look like monsters.
We were on the same wavelength. I thought
you were talking about face painting.
Acrylic paint's a lot cheaper than my makeup.
That I can do. I can do that.
Although I do want to put Kim in drag. I just think I want to do your drag makeup and put one of my wigs on you.
Finally make you look like a woman, Kim.
Put a corset on you and give you some shape to you.
You know what? I'm going to let you do it.
Oh, good.
We're going to video it, though, for Patreon.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I got plenty. I'll get my biggest lashes and...
Yeah, that should be real good.
Mm-hmm. It's going to be so fun.
So how many followers should we get this time? First time we did 10, and the last time we did 15. Should we up the ante to 20?
How many to put Kim in
drag? I think we should do 15 again.
Do 15 again?
Yeah. And then we will do the live podcast. Yeah, and they'll all be able to listen in. And that'll be nice, too, because, you know, we'll see comments. So, like, if talk about something, they want to add their little two cents, we can reference them also.
Okay.
I want to see what you look like as a woman, Kim.
Are we going to do that at the same time, or are we going to do that different?
You could do it at the same time.
It won't take me very long, just an hour or so. Takes me 2 hours.
It'll take him an hour to make you look like a woman, Kim.
While you're doing a mystery, doing the, you know, the live mystery, I could be doing...
And just hear us in the background, me yelling at Kim, quit crying, it don't hurt so bad.
We got to get rid of this facial hair somehow. You
quit blinking and breathing. This would go a lot faster.
All right. I'm not going to lie. I'm kind of excited about this.
That'll be fun. Yeah.
It is definitely going to be fun.
Yeah.
All right.
15 from
people from today. Yeah. I'll keep track.
We'll make Kim a woman. You too can see Kim as a woman.
You'll see a pinned post on Patreon that will give you the number. So you just have to join it. And then we'll add you to the number.
That's right.
It'll be fun. 15
people. Yeah.
Hey, if I can make me... I mean, I'm quite a big man with a square jaw, and I make a very sexy, attractive woman. Go. So
I got a tarp if you want to make her a dress.
Hey, I have... Pretty sure I...
I got some fabric and some safety pins. I'll make a slutty dress.
I might have... I'll have to look. I think I might have got rid of the dresses that I have, because... I haven't wore a dress. I can't even remember the last time I wore a dress.
And I've got 10 in my closet right now.
I am not.
We're going to have your titties out.
There you go.
Get you a boost.
I definitely need a push-up bra for that. I got some
chicken cutlets.
Oh, good. Okay. I could get me some jelly boobs.
That's what I call them, chicken cutlets, because that's what they look like. Sometimes when I clean out my closet, I'm like... I got raw chicken. What they look like?
Raw chicken in here.
We got Emily those for one of her proms. Maybe both of them. I don't remember. And she says, "Mom, I just don't have enough.
Ain't got enough."
That is
like, get you some jelly boobs.
Oh yeah, they're fine. Except it's weird that they don't have a nipple. It makes me feel like an alien.
That's funny.
And the little clasp doesn't have to like duct tape them.
Oh yeah,
because I'll be sitting there recording a video and. All of a sudden, I see my titties start to spread out.
You should put orange. Don't guys usually use oranges or something?
I mean, I just bought
that. That sounds cheap, Kim.
A padded brawl, a little padded brawl, and a couple chicken cutlets, and it looks like I have nice titties.
I need something seriously to help mine.
I got a leather harness. We'll strap
there you go.
Strap them around my neck or something.
Get you another type of strap on. Maybe your ex-husband will give you the wink again. Howdy doody.
After this, I'm going to go puke before we do unmask.
She don't want him after large Marge.
Oh, that's true.
Wood chipper.
All right, Kim. What's your closing?
Passing. All right. Don't forget to follow us on all of our socials. And don't forget to go to Shane and Josh's Rabbit Hole on Facebook and talk with us on there. Come and visit us on our website. It's MrInc.com. You'll find all of our old episodes there, pictures. You'll find our merch store that'll have t-shirts in it. This is one of the old t-shirts.
And I love that people can put their names on their shirts.
Yes.
Or whatever they want.
Our names.
We've had people put Josh's name. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mine says Producer Kim on the back.
There you go.
I would turn around, but it's probably not going to work very well. But yeah, you can put your name on your own shirt. Josh has got his little dicks and his Emma design necklaces.
Oh, people have also put their favorite saying from
yes.
the podcast.
Yeah, they've done that too.
I thought that was clever.
Another one of my.
Yeah.
Oh, there's also coffee cups on there.
And tumblers.
Cup. Yes.
Yeah. Yes.
And hopefully Kim will said, no, you're the right one. Hopefully. To the right address.
To the right place.
Also, we would love it if you would come and join our Patreon. You know, we're going to do this live event with me and drag.
Yeah.
Plus, I'm a woman.
All of our unmasked episodes are also recorded with a video.
Yes,
too.
With video.
So you can absolutely listen to the extra bonus episode mm-hmm. and watch the video.
Yes. We have a great community of people in there. Oh, everybody yeah. has so much fun.
So supportive.
They too. Are, you have a bad day or whatever. Just like I, yesterday, this is Tuesday, Sunday was Amber's birthday. Mm-hmm. And I had put a thing on there about it being Amber's birthday, and everybody wished her a happy birthday. It so and it was really nice. They're a good pick me up if I need it.
I really enjoyed it when I was sick because I'm like, oh, look, people care if I live or die.
Let's see. Yeah, we do have a great community of people there. We have all kinds of fun. You never know when we're going to do some kind of a off the wall.
Mm-hmm.
We do have some things cooked up for Halloween.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah, we're going to do something for Halloween. I'm not real sure that we've talked about it yet, but guess what? We're doing something for Halloween.
I was going to say, no, this must have been a YouTube text.
Uh-huh. No. This was a me thing.
No, it was a her thing. I'm hearing about it for the first time, too, Josh. Yeah, Kim just sits at home crocheting, doing nothing.
Thinking.
And she's like, you know what we could do for Halloween? So she's already cooked this whole thing up. She'll tell us about it.
I know exactly what we're going to do. I know exactly how we're going to do it. And
I can't wait to hear it.
It's going to be fun.
Any excuse to wear a Halloween costume.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's going to be a good time. All right. I think that's all we got.
All right. Well, we'll see you guys on Unmasked.
All right.
Bye.
Fall into big savings, all in the Kroger app. Get 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $4.99 each with your card and a digital coupon. Then buy one, get one free on our full line sale of tender Tyson chicken with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.